Welcome to Culture Chats, an accessible discussion intertwining cultural and social issues while delving into the minds of some of the leading contemporary voices in Irish culture. Today I will be hosting a discussion focusing on the evolving cultural landscape in Ireland. I chat with an exciting lineup of artists who work across a range of contemporary artistic disciplines, all of whom are paving the way to create and develop a modern art scene in Ireland. Today's episode features Niamh Hannaford, an artist working in illustration, paint, jewellery and spoken word; Eamon Murphy, an award-winning writer and director; Ruth O'Mahony Brady, a pianist, vocalist, producer and composer; Dae McGee, a multimedia artist working across music, live performance, the written word and the visual arts; and Chloe Agnew, a singer, songwriter and actress who gained fame as one of the original members of the internationally acclaimed music group Celtic Woman. I'm Matthew Nevin, co-director of the Mark Gallery and Studios and also CICLA, the Contemporary Irish Arts Centre, Los Angeles. I work as a curator, filmmaker and artist and have worked on some big projects and many little ones. I want to bring my experience and the experience of others together to build a better future for our culture. So thanks very much for coming, everyone. I was just thinking on my way here about making compliments and paying compliments to you all. And I have this like inner dilemma of like whenever I do that, that like whenever I speak to someone, I'm like, oh, I'm going to tell you like, I don't know, Ruth, like I love what you do and I think it's great. And then I'm like, the ego behind that is like, is Ruth then thinking, oh, Matthew thinks he's so great that he needs to tell Ruth that like Ruth is aware that I like your work and that somehow makes But this idea of like, maybe it's just an inner Irish thing of like being afraid to like say that you like something without being being obnoxious.
I think the fact that you're overthinking it this much is just the most Irish thing. In fact, you're overthinking it. And then Irish people, you can't take compliments either. I think when you give them to Irish people, go, oh, stop. Sorry. I don't need to hear that.
Yeah. And like you spend a lot of time in America. Do you see the difference? Like I learned, and so does Kira, who runs Mart. We learned so much from being around Americans and being more confident in when they make a compliment to you, you go, thank you.
Absolutely. They have a point of expressing whether, now they'll tell you if they don't like it too. But no, I think the Irish have struggled with that a little bit more of overthinking how much to give or to compliment and then how much to take.
You know? Yeah. But I think you're all doing great. And I think whatever my compliment means is that I'd like to pay my compliments and thank you for coming here.
Thank you.
And I just know for myself it's so hard to do anything. And sometimes the biggest struggle is to try to create anything and do something. Never mind trying to get the money to make that happen or where is it going to be. So I was going to ask you, Chloe, what's been one of the biggest struggles for you when you're creating a new piece of work to start that process? Is it, do you let that journey of like, where is this going to be? Who's going to hear it? What project am I working on? Who am I focusing on?
Well, I think everyone's creative process is different. And I think you find your creativity and your inspiration in different places. Mm-hmm. For me, it's very hard. I think sometimes I can't just access it. You know, sometimes it has to come to you. You have to be inspired. You have to live a little. You have to experience. You have to feel intense emotions, which I think most creatives do. I think we are incredibly sensitive, emotional people. So I think, you know, you experience different things in life, and that's what leads, for me anyway, for songwriting or for writing, or that's where it comes from, is real life experiences. And I know there are people who their creative processes, they treat it like a job and they sit down every day and just apply themselves. And so I think you find it in whatever different ways you can, you know? And when it comes, thank God it did.
What about yourself, Eamon? How do you find that creative process in trying to create new work or coming up with a new idea?
I don't really have a set system. I think each project has its own course. I suppose for me, I just try to mitigate the variables as much as possible. And that, like what you said, I am the type of person where I'll sit down every day. And I'll just try and write something, regardless if I know it's going to see to the end of a final film. I just kind of sit there and just try and write something. I'm kind of more of a believer of not really thinking about it as art or something creative, and just thinking about it as being work, you know, and just trying to, or I'm just going to do an hour's work. Once that's done, I can be happy with myself that I've made progress today. That's kind of my personal method of doing it, but everyone has their own approach. You know?
That's discipline. That's fair play to you.
And making progress, like, how do you find progress, or like, when do you feel like you've made that progress in something?
Well, I think that is what can be so difficult to judge.
You know,
there is no kind of set beginning, middle, and end. So you're not necessarily aware of how far along in the creative process you are, almost until you have arrived at going, oh, I think this is done, or I think this is kind of, this is all that this is going to yield for me. I actually definitely find judging progress, whether it's literally in a piece of music that I'm making, or just more globally where I'm at in my life, my creative life, it can be very difficult to kind of assess that.
I find it's kind of like similar between what everyone's saying, like I sometimes think of it as work, sometimes I just let it come, and then I also find it very difficult to like you say, see progress in a day. Like, I sometimes you leave the studio, if I've treated it as a day of work, I'm going down to the studio, I'm going to spend 8 hours in the studio, and I'm just going to draw, like, paint, do anything to like feel like I'm making progress, and then when I leave, if I don't, it's hard to kind of like pat yourself on the back if you can't see something for it. But I suppose that's the kind of mindset that we live in, that we're trying to maybe rail against a little bit, to say, like, just being there and turning up is enough.
Definitely, because there's no clocking in and clocking out, so unless you have your discipline or you have inspiration to just start and do something, I feel like it's exactly that. It just comes in different waves and for different people, and it's very hard, I think, in that way, being a creative. You know.
Absolutely, and I think if you don't have, like, say a deadline somewhere you're going to show your work, if you have a film premiere, if you have something to work towards, it's much easier to like write that down, that progress, and see, okay, I'm moving forward. When you don't have that and you are just painting in the studio, I struggle like to find that discipline kind of sometimes. I'd be sitting there looking at a painting thinking,
but it's also kind of being kind to yourself as well, because it's like some days I'll sit down and I'll write 10 pages. Other days I'll just write one. It's just about the showing up aspect. And it's okay that I've only written one page today, because maybe tomorrow I'll write 10 more. But it's just knowing that you're making those little steps forward, I think, makes a big difference.
Because progress isn't always like linear. Again, as you say, like, sometimes you take 3 steps, other days you take 10 steps, and then you take 10 steps and you're like, oh, I took 10 steps, but then you're exhausted because you took 10 steps. And then it's like 2 weeks later until you can do another 5, you know? It kind of goes back and forth. I find, if anything, like just my own experience with my creative practice is, I almost have a compulsive approach to making. I often have my fingers in many pies creatively with many different mediums, performance, music, photography, drawing, etc. And I found, in terms of being kind to myself, I actually have to quite often try to take myself out of that kind of compulsive act of making and ground myself in the mundane, just looking after oneself, eating, etc. You kind of get lost in it. And I'm happy to get lost in it, but real life does call.
Jay, can I ask you then, what's the biggest challenge, you think, to your career that you find makes it difficult for you to progress, you think?
Well, there's kind of at least 2 different avenues. One is personal, in that I'm a person who has a chronic illness. I have a chronic pain disorder. So that means my ability to kind of integrate with the adult world, so let alone being an artist in the first place, can be difficult in terms of maintaining or even finding employment in the first place. In some ways, it's allowed me, it's given me the time to actually pursue my passion in terms of art. But by the same token as well, in terms of pursuing a career in art, I find, especially as an emerging artist myself, that you're kind of, at the start anyway, you are laying the tracks yourself. And it's difficult to sometimes, I don't know, see the light at the end of the tunnel, I guess.
Yeah. Because
You're so busy trying to lay these tracks as it goes.
I feel that incredibly, that idea of like laying the tracks. Like you have to do everything. I find like, and that's something I struggle with. Mm-hmm. Like I really struggle with the putting yourself out there, like social media, that kind of stuff. Like it just makes me, and then that's kind of holds me back a little bit. And you have to, so that whole idea, you put a lot of energy into building.
It's interesting because I'm like kind of the opposite in some ways. Like I find in a way there's a certain safety in social media in that, again, there's, you can enjoy creating something to post on social media and promote yourself that way. But at the same time, I can be quite nervous in terms of like putting myself out there in person.
I'm the opposite, I think. Yeah. I'm much more comfortable in person than online.
Do you know what though is so helpful of that, just even as you said, overcoming that is surrounding yourself with creatives. Like I know that sounds mad, but art and creativity and whatever it is so isolating in some ways because you are on your own, like as you said, conceiving what it is that is your art, actually pursuing it, doing something about it. It's when I'm most lost and, you know, not ambition, but just know like I'm overthinking things, and it's that, it's one of my favorite lines, it's Plato's, is comparison is the thief of joy. And I think you do that in an artistic, creative world, is that we're constantly looking at each other, and in social media world, you're comparing all the time what it is that, how come they're doing that and I'm not getting myself together. And it's only really when I actually surround myself with people who get that life and that world, even in the last 10 minutes of conversation, I've been like, oh, thank God.
I'm normal.
They feel all the same range of emotions that you do, you know, and I think you can get in your own head and it's a very scary place to be. So actually expressing that and sharing that with like-minded people is so comforting because they totally get it.
For sure. I mean, it's so difficult to escape the feeling to compare, you know, we talk about kind of progress, and you know, sometimes I catch myself going, okay, I've been doing this for a number of years now, and really, where am I, like, in the grand scale of life, you know, how do I feel like I've progressed? And in those kind of moments of insecurity, that's when you can also start going, well, you know, so-and-so seems to be having a better time, and they're doing such and such, and whatever, and there's no hope if you get caught in that spiral, because then that just feeds those kinds of those insecurities that are inevitable. You know,
there's a like really fine line between inspiration and comparing yourself to others, because it's via the same route. You have to balance this, I'm so inspired by that, but at the same time, particularly through social media, it's like, that's so inspiring, I haven't done that. And it's such a, like, I'm not quite sure, I've quite figured out how to discern the two. But I think like part of it is almost sometimes we have so much, we take so much pride in what we do that we also have a sense of, well, I can't admit that I'm just basically humanly jealous of another person.
Yeah.
And it's a normal human experience. Yeah. That's what we do. Yeah. We're comparison-making machines. Yeah. It's how we make associations. Yeah. It's how we invent this world.
Yeah. Yeah.
But by the same token, it's that balance trying to find.
For sure. And I think that's why, you know, a bit like what we've been saying about kind of almost looking after yourself, looking after your mind, I think that's why if you yourself feel a bit more secure in the art that you make, you know, the work that you do, if you kind of actually give yourself a bit of, you know, kind of you allow yourself to say, I think I do like what I do, or I think I can contribute something, you know, that is worth, you know, listening to or observing or whatever. I think that helps with your own, as you say, I think maybe it's more comfortable to be just inspired by others as opposed to kind of feeling the little niggly pressure. Feeling of the pressure. Exactly, you know, should I be kind of at a certain point or whatever.
I like what you say though about, like, you know, if you're going to continue, like, we obviously do think that we have something to offer because we're continuing to do it. If you didn't have any level of self-belief in yourself, you wouldn't continue to push yourself. So you do have to have and nurture and encourage that part of you as well, you know?
I was just going to ask you, Eamon, that, like, it'd be interesting to hear through the writing and filmmaking about, filmmaking is so collaborative. Obviously, it's a huge crew, and depending on where you are in that process, you can be a certain whatever, sound guy, camera guy, or maybe a producer, a writer, a filmmaker, whatever. But you create this family to create something once. But it's getting to that point can be very hard. But what I was going to say is about how have you found collaborating with other people and trying to collaborate with people you may not ever be able to collaborate with. That can be very hard in the film world. Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, filmmaking is this weird thing where I spend the bulk of my time alone in a room trying to write something that then I have to go and sell to someone to give me money to go and make. Mm. Mm. Then once I've done that, then I have to go and get the right people together to go and make it. Mm-hmm. So it's like the first stage is very isolating.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and then I have to be comfortable and confident in the idea to go and pitch it to other people. And then I have to try and get other people on board. And also, you know, everyone else has their own schedule. So maybe the person who I want to collaborate with won't be there, you know, and then I have to try and find another person. And I find that when you're collaborating with other people, they'll kind of come in and put their own spin on things. And I think the job of the director isn't really to kind of put your foot down and tell them, this is what I want. It's more like trying to give them room to play. Yeah. In a certain scope, if you know what I mean. You're going, I like this angle that you're taking, but so just kind of continue on that path and see where we end up. You don't want to be the guy who's kind of stilting other people's ideas. You want to kind of foster their own contributions and try to, I suppose, make them as much of the project as possible, you know? Because I'm not the guy who has all the answers.
Yeah.
I'm not that smart. So
I'd like to touch on working with peers in your community or other communities you want to break into. It could be in within. So a lot of you also fall between different artistic disciplines. So there might be different people within your own community or other communities or people more established or less established that you admire and you want to collaborate with. And sometimes that is only possible through funding and our availability of these people. How do you navigate that world? Because, and how do you find that experience specifically in Ireland?
I think working with like your friends or like you say peers or other creatives, it's a really good way to battle the kind of isolation of the studio on your own. Like, cause you, like you were saying, Eamon, like you do spend a lot of time on your own as an artist or as a creative. So it's nice to kind of meet other people. And I think you touched on it earlier, Ruth, about like finding your people and it giving you that kind of creative boost.
I've been very lucky to work with multiple performance artists under multiple performance artists, such as Amanda Coogan, Franco B, Nigel Rolfe, Martin O'Brien. And it's not necessary. I think when we think about this idea of collaboration, I tend not to be very collaborative. But I still absolutely find the necessity to engage with other people, even just in my relationships. Mm. I think in order to sustain my centeredness, in order for me to be able to isolate myself in creating my own work, I need to be able to come back up for air. And that's just being in the company of other people who aren't even necessarily the same as me, but are enough like me that, you know, I can make those connections and promote those. I would say like relationships in many ways, like whatever their nature, not just like that of a mentor and a student or such, I would find relationships are the main source of my creativity.
I think sometimes when you collaborate with maybe more established people or people who are further along in their career or whatever, it can allow you to reassess where you want to go in your career. Mm-hmm. And have you experienced that of like the always going, where am I going? And like we were talking about the path and seeing where they have gone. And I'm always reassessing. It's like, is that the path I want?
Yeah.
Like,
well, I think it always changes too. I think the path that you're on can sometimes change as you get older and your what you actually want out of life and things that will satisfy you or make you feel fulfilled shift and change as you get older. I think as you just said there, relationships are the key source of my creativity. What a great line. I mean, I think I agree with that. Collaborations for me have opened up so many other doors to avenues in my life and my career that I honestly don't think they'd have opened if I hadn't explored them or if I hadn't asked. And I think that's the difficult thing sometimes with creatives is finding the courage to voice that you need help to carry out your art, or you need encouragement from your peers or your colleagues, or you need to ask sometimes how to do things. That's okay. There's this expectation that we should be the greatest at our gift and know everything that is to do with it. You don't, as you said it earlier, it sometimes it takes a village to be able to make your piece of art come to life. And that for me has been a huge part of my world of getting to just try different things because of the people who I've surrounded myself with.
I wanted to ask you, how do you choose what project to work on? So whether it's your own solo stuff or one of your groups you're in, or how do you make that decision? Like, we all have to make those decisions, and what piece am I going to focus on, or should I focus on whatever? How do you decide?
I think for me, there's a combination of elements. I think it has to feel right, but as I've gotten older, I've realized it's about the people. It's if the core group of production company, or the artists, or the producers, or whoever it is that I have to work with, it comes down to if they're a sound person, if they like, you know, how we get on, and what you see is what you get. That's kind of, I think probably that comes from being in LA as well for a long time, of feeling like I just need to establish meaningful, real connections with people, because the best art has come from those, you know. And it's tough, I think, but I do think you can, when you know enough of what you want and when something feels right to you, trust your gut. Because generally, if it doesn't feel right and you have a bad smell about a situation, 9 times out of 10, your gut is right. Yeah. And that's kind of taught me most of the projects I choose. I like to kind of say yes to most things because you never know where it's going to lead. And I would rather try things and say that I did them and, oh, Jesus, that didn't really work. Yeah. And at least learn from it and move on from it. I think I've learned, being artistic and creative, that my fear of failure is the thing that holds me back most, of being scared of, oh, well, what if that doesn't work? And only really in recent years, it's like, well, sure, just try it. And if it doesn't, I mean, it can't be the end of the world. Pick yourself up and try something else.
Yeah, so how do you deal with doubt, Eamon, or anyone in the whole process?
Yeah, well, I think I'm probably kind of learned to reason with it, in that not everyone's going to like the work I make.
Yeah.
And I don't need everyone to like the work I make. I just need enough people to like the work I make. And once I know the audience that I'm targeting and going for that, then I'm okay. It's like, you know, when you make a film and then you're submitting film festivals, if it doesn't get into one festival, but it gets into 5 other festivals, it's, you know, you just have to realize that other people have different tastes. Maybe it's not because they didn't like the film, it just didn't fit into the program that they're putting together, you know? Yeah. That's how I reason with it. Doubt's always going to be there.
Yeah.
You know, it's it comes and goes just with your general mood. Yeah. You know, it's once you kind of realize that it will pass, then everything's fine. But it's like what I said earlier on, it's about sitting down even when you don't want to sit down and doing the work, you know? That's what I think is the difference between making progress and not.
Now that over 99% of the population have become a better you, it is time we celebrate. We've sent tickets to over 400 lucky winners to attend our dance extravaganza, both real and better. It is important to spend time with people who are special to us.
It's incredible how it can kind of just sort of seep in without you realizing, because you could be working on an idea, or you could be, you know, something could be going really well, and then it's almost like suddenly it's like there's a little like tap on your shoulder, like, actually, is it any good? Actually, maybe it's all awful. I thought I was onto a great thing here.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, so this invisible force that can take over, you know. And I think, as you say, Eamon, it's just I definitely feel like I have to constantly remind myself that feeling will pass, as you say, because I mean it gets me every time.
Every time. Like when you start a project, it's kind of like a curve, you know, you're like, oh my god, this is the best idea anyone's ever had. Like, I'm an artistic genius. And then you start making it, get to about here, and you're like, oh my god, who the hell am I, what is this, everyone's gonna hate it, blah, blah, blah. But then it comes around again eventually. And like you say, I think that, like, reassuring yourself when maybe you get rejected from something or something doesn't go quite as you wanted, that like this is just one part of a whole process, and to enjoy the process, like you were saying about working with people who you enjoy their company. Mm-hmm. Like, we do this because we want to enjoy our lives as well. Like, you know, you have to enjoy the actual making, the highs, the lows, and everything in between.
Sure.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to remind yourself of that sometimes. Yeah.
It's weird how, like, through the relationships, whether as collaborators or friends, we're reminded of who we are. We should be able to think that when we're on our own, but
yeah.
I find a lot of the time, most of my self-doubt comes when I have isolated myself. I find I actually lose perspective on my own work, my own progress, and it's when I reconnect with the good ones, basically. Because not everyone's going to be.
Yeah.
But with those rare, or maybe not even rare, few, we can remind ourselves of who we are and then get back to work.
Mm. Yeah.
There's a place, I think I've learned that now, as you had said there, of, you know, not everybody's going to like what you do, and that's okay. You know, I think sometimes now, with you look at the internet, there is somewhere for you to put your something, and somebody will like it. But, you know, there are so many different platforms now for emerging artists and talents to find a home for what it is that they do and find an audience somewhere.
Mm. From what we were just talking about there, I was thinking about happiness, and we've kind of touched about like where we want to go potentially in our career and what we've been working towards. And it's like, has anyone experienced this moment of doing something that they've worked very hard for and on and are really proud of it? And then it's reflecting on it going, am I actually happy? I do think I'm happy. Am I happy? Oh yeah, that was good. And I achieved what I wanted to do. But actually, when I did this other project, I felt happier. And this notion of like, I'm always talking to Kira and other people about whenever we create things or do things, it's like really focusing on what makes you happy. And I think as you get older, you do focus on that. And you touched on this. It's, has anyone kind of felt that anti-climax moment of going, oh yeah, I should be really happy now. I just did this really good thing and I am happy. But I'm not.
I mean, I literally just had that feeling. Just now.
Just literally right now having that feeling.
No, but I had that, you know, finishing up a project last week that was really, really intense. And actually, it wasn't even for that long a stretch, but it had been planned for several months. And the actual work of it really was only kind of like three concentrated weeks of really, really intense work. But, you know, so much energy went into it from everyone who was involved, that you kind of expect this absolute elation when you're finished. We were all kind of planning, like, we're going to go out, you know, the last night, and, like, finally we can all have a drink and relax because it's been crazy. And everyone was just knackered. Everyone was wrecked at the end of this session.
Yeah.
Even though it went really well and really good work was done, it is odd sometimes when you've really given so much, you expect the payoff to sort of come back at you, which often it can as well, you know, especially if you're finishing up a tour, you're finishing and it's like, woohoo, we got to the end. But it can also be a weird sort of state where, you know, you're going, it's done and it all went well. But why am I not feeling, I kind of feel pretty knackered actually.
I think that's the weird thing with expectations in general. I came across recently an idiom that I find actually quite useful in terms of my own mental health, but that expectations are premeditated resentments. You can't always predict what's going to happen or how you're going to feel, even about, and sometimes especially with things that you micromanage in order to, I'm going to do this so that I feel this. And so often, even simply with the work that you make, it, even while you're making, you're suddenly taking directions you didn't realize you were going to go in, for better or worse.
Yeah. I think as well, like, if you've been working really hard on something and you're like we were saying earlier, it's kind of like an obsessive compulsion to make art, and like you use all of your brain power to work on this project, you're thinking on it for months and months, and then you do the exhibition or you have the event or you do the thing and it goes well and you're really happy, and then the next day you wake up and you're like, oh God, I'm finished. Like, you know, what do I do now? And then you're like, oh God, I have to do everything again. And like the thing that I find the most fun about art is the beginning stages where you get to be fully creatively free. There's no, like, you're just coming up with ideas and kind of playing in your own, well, I would be playing in my own studio. And then, you know, as you get to the end, it becomes more maybe work focused, where you're like, okay, I got to get in a 10-hour day. Today.
Refine
this.
Exactly. Refine this fun.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's honestly sometimes the easiest part of it too for me is that once you find the inspiration, once you find the what it is that you want to create, that's the most enjoyable part. It might not feel like it when you're in it, but for me, it's the everything that comes after that then of, you know, if it's a song or what a new project you're working on, that you then have to, as you said, you have to sell it and you have to promote it and you have to do all the social media side of it and all of these different aspects that aren't necessarily creative. There's nothing creative about them. There's algorithms and there's times you need to post and all of those things. And that's very technical. So I think that side of it, I find, can be the part that wears you out. And when it's highs and lows through creativity, that you can have the high of, it, you know, coming to the end of a session or your release or whatever it is, and then the come down and the reality of doing that again. And I don't know what we build in our heads of expectations, as you said, of just you envision it going some way and it can go well.
And it's not like we should judge ourselves for trying to expect things, because art of all, like a creative career out of all careers, is so unpredictable that of course we're trying to anticipate what's coming down the line.
Yeah.
Like, of course we're doing that. Yeah. But to a great degree, we can't, and in a way that's almost part of being an artist.
Yeah.
But it is also one of the inherent challenges.
Yeah. Which, you know what I've started doing more in more recent years? And it's kind of like what you were saying earlier, Matt, about like looking at artists, because I really want this to be my career. Like, you know, so looking at artists who have a career that I think, oh, I'd love a career like that. Going back and like looking at what they did when they were younger, how they got there, and kind of going back in and checking in with yourself and like reassessing what you're doing and where you want to go, and that expectation as well. It's something like it's natural for humans to do something, especially if you've worked really hard. You're like, I want people to come and they want, I want them to love it. Like, and it can't always work out that way, but sometimes it does. And it's a bit of a roller coaster of emotions.
That reminds me of, about wanting and like looking up to peers and getting their advice. Do you have any examples, or have you any experience of like that scenario where you meet somebody that you really admire and they either maybe give you advice or they don't, or they deflate an idea, or that they that sort of way of
thankfully most people I've met have been very nice. In terms of advice, it's quite weird because I think it's in all arts that there is no clear career path, so you kind of have to figure it out as you go. And I think for me that's probably the most troubling thing, because there's no like natural career progression. You always kind of have to just keep making it up as you go, unfortunately.
And it's not fair. A lot of this, what I've learned, it's always not fair, especially in film and in other scenarios, but especially in film. Someone could be an intern one time and then they're actually like a director the next time, and it's because they knew someone, or maybe they, hopefully it's because they actually did something really awesome. Then that's where they're doing it. Go on, sorry.
There's never really been some like golden nugget piece of advice that's kind of changed my worldview on it. I think it's, as much as it is about having talent and working hard, it is unfortunately kind of like who you know as well. And I do find it hard to sort of make those connections, those important connections. And thankfully, I have like a small network of people who I can trust and rely upon. But I do find that probably the hardest thing is trying to figure out how you get to the next level.
Yeah. You know? Does anyone else have that experience of networking, obviously?
I hate the word networking with a fiery passion. I really do. Because it's the one thing that you, and in this business, it is exactly that. How do you sell your film? How do you promote your art? You know, you have to do a varying degree of that, of schmoozing or networking or, you know, getting yourself out there. And I do find that very tough. I hate the idea of having to do it and just being real, being sincere about it, and, you know.
But what do you think, if you were going to give advice to someone else, what's the best advice maybe you've heard or that you could give someone else in dealing with that networking?
One piece that I've heard, never directed at me personally, but it was Seamus McGarvey, the Irish cinematographer. you know, who did films like Atonement and Avengers and all these types of things. And his whole philosophy on set is, I'm just going to try and be the nicest guy on set. Mm-hmm. Because once I do that, then everyone's going to help me. And it's going to make my job easier and the work better. You know, and I think that's probably the most important thing. I think the worst thing on a film set is when someone shows up with an ego and they have something to prove. Mm-hmm. And you just end up pissing everyone off, you know? You know, you just want everyone to chill and just enjoy the process, you know? Yeah. That's just my personal experience of it.
Anyway. Yeah, I think I think that's really important, though, about enjoying the process. Like, one thing I heard, so it wasn't advice given to me either, it was on a TED Talk, but it was about how, like, you're only going to be, I don't know, anyway, you're only going to be at the like height of your career or the most successful for a period of like roughly 5 years or something like that. You know, there's always going to be either building up to that point or coming down to that point over your whole life. And as creatives, we generally work longer than most other careers. So like to enjoy the process is really, really important, to not like lose sight of enjoying being an artist, enjoying creating work at whatever stage of your career you're at.
It's beginning. I can feel it. As I sway lightly to and from my hallowed ground. I planted a tree for you yesterday. I mean, it was already there. It is full grown, but I planted it. I planted a tree for you yesterday, and it blossoms in the summer with fermenting sweet fruit, and I talk of making a pie right there in the garden. The noises, they surround a six back onto one, low-walled and friendly. I sit and time for 7 minutes. I look at your base, one very low stump, three forward fingers, one back, four in total. Four quickly become seven, eight, nine, and here they splash out over my head, casting shadows, crisp, clean, and easy to feel. I feel my shadow on the carpet and then on the grass, and you on my bright white flesh.
Because, like, you know, everyone's ambitious and you have things that you want to maybe achieve in your time, and if you're only focused on getting to that point and putting on that big show and that big gallery or whatever, and you don't enjoy every little thing that you're doing along the way, that's, it can become maybe slightly draining. Yeah. Like, you know?
And I think timelines are different for everybody.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, yeah. There's this huge pressure of having to achieve certain things by certain ages. Yeah. And I think we bring that upon ourselves. Yeah. And again, it's going back to the comparison thing. But I was only reading a thing recently of, you know, Christopher Plummer won his first Oscar at 82. Mm-hmm. You know, Morgan Freeman got his great break in life later on in life. And I think that's so important. I only spoke about it recently as a woman in music. I was told that only last year I had a big meeting. I thought it was going to be something really great for me moving forward in my career. And at the end of the meeting, he said, "Oh, sorry, what age are you?" And I was 31. I said, "I was 31." He said, "Oh, I would have preferred if you were 21. Mm-hmm. And and that was it. I never heard from them again.
Yeah.
And that was it. And I thought, "Wow, it broke me at the time. It really did." And but then I had this moment of like, "Well, I can't just take that as the all and end all and keep on going." Sure. And it was only this year when Imelda May was the first woman to have a number one album in recent years on the Irish charts. Mm. Did she speak out about being told as a woman in her 40s she should probably give up breaking music? And you know, so like then she goes and does that. So I think everyone's timeline is different, and you don't know when your height of your 5 years of success is going to come. It might not be in your 20s or your 30s, and might not be till later in life, but it's keeping on the hustle, I think.
Yes. It also might not necessarily be in what you think. Like, I remember, like, in my late teens and early 20s, I was pursuing acting. I wasn't even thinking about fine art.
Yeah.
And then I didn't even go straight into third level college. And I remember being 22, 23, and seeing all my friends graduate around that age, and just feeling like I had been left behind. But as someone who went back into education, into higher education, it was the best decision I ever made because I was ready. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that we have to remember. Again, it's the tension in terms of how we compare each other to ourselves. Mm-hmm. That your path is unique.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that I always say to people is what do you want, and what do you, not necessarily like, I want to be, I get paid loads of money and I want to be just like such and such, to have a goal or whatever, but then to remind yourself of like, just because you reach your, so if we're saying you're at the top of your career for 5 years, you may not be the happiest mm. at that point. Yeah. Mm. God only knows what's happening in your life. Is there stuff happening in your personal life, your family life? Is it what you imagined? So mm. this idea mm. of like, where are you? And you might get to that point and go, Jesus, I remember just at the end of the pandemic, I was sitting around the table and I was actually really happy, laughing at those people. I was happier then than I'm now just about to go on stage in some massive concert.
Yeah. And honestly, I think it is that. And I think you only find those moments in darker times. Yeah. You know, you don't realize that when mm-hmm. you thought you actually were struggling and unhappy, you were better then than you were now, you know?
Yeah.
And I honestly think social media is such a huge part to blame for that. I certainly feel, I only met a friend recently who I hadn't seen through the whole pandemic, and we kind of hadn't really been in touch much, and we'd just been following each other on social media of the odd bits we'd been kind of doing, and I said, Jesus, you've been flying this last 2 years for a patient. And they were like, I've had the worst 2 years of my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I said, I was going to say that to you. Yeah. And it was because we were basically judging what we were doing and achieving in each other's lives just off social media.
Sure.
And I feel that of, like, I know times that I posted things because I had to, because I had to promote a thing, but I was desperately unhappy and sad and depressed and anxious when I did it, but it looked like I was fine and grand and touring all over the world and fine.
Yeah.
So you can't judge people's worlds and lives just on that, because sometimes it's not completely, and I'll be the first to put my hand up and say that, it's not a completely accurate representation of what it is that you are or feel, but because it's part of your brand or it's part of what you have to do to sell your art, it's tricky, you know.
And it's so funny because we all know this. Like, you know, we know
this. Still do it.
It's not new.
But then when we go on to Instagram or whatever platforms, or even just going to shows, you know what I mean? Whenever it's just natural. You still go, God, everyone's doing real well.
Yeah.
You know, and you start to criticize yourself.
Yeah. I think it's kind of tough to remind yourself that social media is like someone's showreel.
Yeah.
It's the edited good bits of someone's life.
It's a business card, basically.
I personally try to stay off social media as much as possible. Mm. The only one I have at the minute is Instagram. Yeah. I don't have anything else on my phone.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm the same. I even have a timer on mine now.
Shut you out of the app.
What I do is I just delete the app, and if I need to post something, I re-download the app and then I post it. Yeah. Maybe browse for maybe 5 minutes and then I'm like, okay, I'm deleting it now.
I don't think it serves any purpose to compare yourself to others. To be honest.
I think a lot, well, maybe I'm just blaming this, but it's society, but I often blame institutions and educational institutions on feeding people the narrative that they need to become Damien Hirst or whoever, and that it is possible, when actually it's like winning the lotto. Like, you will most likely never be Damien Hirst or get his wealth or what is that. And we engage with a lot of people who have, I'm the biggest dreamer, like everyone. I'm not trying to squash anyone's dream, but it's about feeding people reality of, like, you will struggle paying rent. The people who have done well in Ireland, they still may not be getting paid enough to survive what they're doing. And what you think is success may not be actually success.
And as well as realizing that, say, seeing someone like Damien Hirst at that kind of unreal level of wealth and recognition, unfortunately, that kind of sphere can only exist based on wealth and other kind of disparities. So there's only so much that we can actually participate in that dream without actually feeding it. It's like, don't necessarily aspire to that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not to say that there isn't value in recognition, but it is to say as well that it's a capitalistic system that requires revision.
Yeah. or, you know, don't let it be the driving force, because it's like what you were saying earlier about actually enjoying the process of what you're doing, of being an artist. Like, that's something that I find sometimes I need to remind myself of going, you know, like, you've chosen to make this your life, or maybe it's chosen you, or you know, but you know, because because it really makes you feel something. And if you really feel something, then the chances are that the people who also engage with what you do will probably feel something as well. So it's almost like at the core of it, you know, the truth behind it all, or something, you know, that you are doing it for reasons that just go beyond the potential for success in a more material way, maybe, mm-hmm. or you know, that success can be your own sense of fulfillment in the work that you do. The few that do manage to really kind of really get to such heights of success, you know, there's a truth in what they do as well with themselves. They have that self kind of belief, or they're just making their thing because it's their thing and it's what's inside them to create. So it's almost like that, retaining that sense even through all the turbulence, because the highs and lows of this kind of, you know, working in a creative you know, industry. Field or industry. Yeah. I mean, navigating the highs and lows of it is definitely a skill in itself.
There's no manual.
There's no manual. And the highs can be so brilliant, can be the best feelings ever. You know, that sense of satisfaction and fulfillment when it's all going right. And the lows can be very crushing, but it's almost like that assessing, you know, well, it's, is it worth it to you if, when it is all going great, it's the best thing in the world? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, if you can manage the low points and understand them and understand yourself, then it's so worth it.
So I suppose what I was also thinking about, what supports people would like to see more of to help sustain this path we're on and everyone's on.
I think especially as you get older, like you were saying, like, I'm 34. And like, as I get older, my friends are buying houses, and it's like the reality of being an artist and this life that I've chosen, that I'm happy to choose, want to pursue it. Mm-hmm. But like, it definitely requires you to do things differently in your life than maybe somebody who works in a bank or, you know, this kind of stuff. But I think one of the important things that, or the good bits of news that has come out, is that they're talking about doing the UBI for artists, the Universal Basic Income. So hopefully that will come in, because that is something that would be worthwhile for the government to pay our artists to create art, to create culture. I think in Spain, I could be wrong, I think in Spain, artists have to give a piece of work to the National Collection every year, which I just think is a lovely idea. Like,
I'm actually leaving on a plane at 2 o'clock.
Spain sounds great.
But imagine that, you know, you get a wage, you're seen as a valued member of society, not something that you do because, oh, you just love it. And I do love it, and I do want to do it, but I also want it to be my career, and I want to live my life and contribute to society and contribute to the economy by buying things with money that I've got from my work.
And look at what the Irish are celebrated for all over the world.
Yeah.
It's our art, our poetry, our music, our, that's what the Irish are celebrating, and our Guinness fine. But generally, it's Irish culture is what is celebrated all over the world. And the fact that we can't look after our own artists in this country to encourage that, and be recognised as a real job, you know, is really tough.
Also, and that when many of the artists that are, you know, promoted in, say, the touristic industry in Ireland, many of those artists had to go abroad
to make their living.
Eamon, how do you navigate the whole support system and
I kind of have my kind of two fields, where I kind of do more commercial work as a means to make an income. Then I have my own sort of artistic endeavors. I suppose for me, I do find it difficult to kind of keep a steady income coming in, you know, because there is no, especially when you're working freelance, you're kind of hustling for your own work all the time, you know. I suppose for me, I would like to see some, like what you were saying with the UBI, something like that for filmmakers as well. Or, you know, I know they launched some new thing there recently about supports for like having a family whilst also being a filmmaker, because I think anyone who works in film kind of realizes that it's very difficult to have a family and have a house and to create a whole support system. in an industry that requires you to work 12 to 14 hours a day.
Yeah.
I think when I started out, most of my kind of putting my foot into music as a career actually did bring me out of Ireland, you know, to London or you know, other countries in Europe. Can we say London as part of Europe? But you know what I mean. And the thing is, in the past couple of years, having returned to Ireland, having that as a base, I mean, I kind of properly moved back just before the pandemic, so it's probably not quite a good assessment, but it does feel like there is, it does feel like there is a bit of a moment happening for you know, the creative industries coming out of Ireland, and maybe there's kind of a willingness to sort of take chances with your work, with your art, because you know, we have hit this bizarre, unexpected kind of reset button. I think after the past couple of years, it sort of feels now like, you know, maybe things are a bit more open to, you know, just sort of trying things. And I think that also goes for support systems as well.
Yeah.
You know, there is a moment now where, you know, we are a small island full of a lot of creative people. I realize this, you know, in terms of everyone being looked after fully. But there is, I think, a real opportunity now to sort of meet the need, what has become blatantly clear, you know, over the past couple of years, that there is a need for more support, be that in you know, in financial support or also just, you know, in spaces. I mean, like with Mart, I mean, getting my studio in June, like that was a huge game changer for me, really. Especially as a musician, you know, having a space that, you know, you can actually make some noise in is not always readily available. And that has been great. You know, I'm sure there's a lot more musicians who would love more of that, you know, a space to work in where it's okay to have your speakers on and it's okay, you know, you don't have to be in headphones all the time. So hopefully, just as the need has been clearly demonstrated, that will be met with the powers that be, you know, doing something about it.
Without wanting to sound like too much like an exhibitionist, I think it's exciting to be in a more experimental sphere because you get to see people reacting and people experiencing things that they normally wouldn't, including myself. Mm-hmm. Performance art, particularly, the medium I'm working with is my body, my experience, my perception, which is the same tool I use for just living my life. Yeah. I think creating those through performance, new experiences for myself that others can participate in as well as the audience. I think it has a lot of potential. And I think I've experienced that potential in just opening my own mind to what's even possible for myself, let alone anyone else.
And so many people have paved the way in Ireland to allow you to experience the career that you're having.
Absolutely. And like before the pandemic, when I was living in Limerick, and I also, like, in terms of exciting you know, things about the creative scene in Ireland, I'd recommend, especially people in Dublin, get out of Dublin, go to Limerick, go to Cork, go to Galway. There are massive wells of creativity and buzz there that I highly recommend that you participate in. But I managed a performance art collective called Evil in Limerick, and we were able to do like events in just a little called Pharmacia in Limerick City on a Thursday night, and we made profit. You know, we were actually able to like make money for doing performance art.
Who would have thought?
Exactly.
But that's honestly very impressive.
Honestly, and so I don't know. There is so much potential in experimentation.
And how have you found, I suppose, working in the differences between working in America and Ireland?
Well, the culture and the people are very different. I mean, obviously, as an Irish person, there's a different sense of familiarity and home and comfort in working with your own people.
Yeah.
Definitely a different enjoyment I get out of it. I think the Irish creative scene right now it's just on fire. I think it's incredible. It really is. I think this last 2 years, it's the creatives who've gotten behind each other to support one another's art and to help each other survive that I think has been real strength in what we do as a community. And I'm just, having been away so much
and coming back now in recent years and spending more time here in Ireland, it just in every medium of creativity, it's incredible the variety. Like, there's people here, I think the worldview of what Ireland is, certainly in music, is, you know, they have one idea of, with a stereotype of what it is, but it's not it. There's so much variety and diversity in Ireland at the moment, which is incredible. That, as I said earlier, you can find a community, you can find your people if you look hard enough here.
And then that's a really good point to lead me on to the last thing that I want to ask all of you, is that why do you do what you do? And it might be just a one-word answer, or it could be a couple of sentences, but why have you chosen this career? And Maeve, I was going to start with you, if that's okay.
Why have I chosen this career? Do you know what? It's funny. I know it sounds kind of cliche to say, but like, I didn't choose it. Like, as in, I always thought I was going to be an artist from when I was a kid. It was that or a race rally driver. So it was always something like, you know, I mean, obviously a race rally driver isn't creative, but like, well, it can be. But like, so I always kind of knew I was going to do something creative. And then...
And why do you do it then?
Why do I do it? Again, I feel, I suppose I feel compelled to by myself. Like, I mean, I have worked, like, since leaving college, like, there's been periods where I've worked full-time elsewhere, and I've just not been happy, you know?
So that's where it is. That's where it's getting to the why, is it's
just
the happiness.
It's just something that comes out of me that I feel is necessary, and cringy to say it, but I also feel that, like, I have something to say, and that other people can react to work that I make, and maybe it will help them think about things, and it's like the whole community of it. And I think art is incredibly good for culture. It's good for people to see different viewpoints, politics, society. I think it's important for a culture to have art and artists.
For sure.
Well said. Eamon?
Yeah, well, I suppose for me, it was like, I knew from very early on that I wanted to go into film. And I think that kind of stemmed from just this idea as a kid that when I went to the cinema, it was just this really, I don't want to say a magical experience, but it was basically like you go there and see things that you can't see in real life, that you can be transported into a different world. And I don't know, it was just amazing for me as a kid. And I think that when it came down to, you know, when you're doing the Leaving Cert and you have to figure out what you're going to do in college and there's all this pressure on, I decided, you know, I liked that, and I feel like I still like going to the cinema, and I want to learn more about that. So that's why I chose to go into film, you know, other creative mediums. It was just one that resonated with me more than most other things.
That's brilliant. And Day?
I would say I'm motivated not just by love for it, but also fear as well, in terms of, it's this or nothing else, honestly. Because I don't see myself reflected in any other path. I don't see myself reflected in the rest of society. So in that sense, it's like, whether I'm motivated by love for it or fear, like, I'm doing it. I, going back to what I said earlier, I'm a compulsive maker. Like, I won't be able to help but do it. So I'm kind of buckled in for the ride now.
And Ruth?
I mean, there are so many reasons. You know, it feels almost as natural as breathing sometimes. You know, I'm a piano player, and the piano now is just like another limb. It's been around almost as long as I can remember. So it's so, I think music just, it sort of punctuates almost every aspect of my life. But I think for me, one of the, you know, I know how I feel, you know, the emotional response that I get from listening to a record that really touches me, or watching someone perform that I really get something from. The idea of being able to do that for someone else, to actually create music that elicits a response in someone, or can actually help someone, you know, but just even just make someone feel something. I think that that is something that drives me to hang on, as you say, to buckle back up when I feel like every part of me is going like, get out now. What have you done? You know, there are so many, like I was saying earlier, you know, the highs of doing what we do. You know, the great feeling that you get, the satisfaction, because it is something that's inside of you to do. It's so worth figuring out all the bullshit. Can I say bullshit? It's worth figuring out how to manage that, because it is the best thing in the world.
Brilliant. Well said. And Chloe?
I'm with all of these wonderful people. It's what I know how to do, and knowing your worth and being not afraid to say, I'm good at it and I know how to do this. And I if I can combine that with passion, with drive, with a healthy balance of all of the above of what we just spoke about, I'm going to keep on keeping on and doing what I do. And all of the combination of everything that we've said, you know, it's the highs, the lows, it's the, it's what you know how to do, it's what drives you, it's, I'm feeling like happy. I mean, and sometimes unhappy, and that's okay too, because this is the life we've chosen, but, you know, it's, there's a great comfort in knowing that you are one of many people who all experience all of those things, and at the end of the day, if your art, your creativity, if it can make somebody feel something, then... it was worth making a difference in what... And I read a line actually earlier. It says, you know, what you do will make a difference. It's what it is.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Yes.
So anything you do in life is going to make a difference. It's just choose what it is that's going to be good for you and for others.
Yeah, brilliant. Well said. So I'd like to thank you all for coming. And I wanted to say something that, like, I think it's important to remember and take from this conversation that... we are here for each other and that your peers are here for each other and that don't, sometimes as Irish people, we can be afraid to reach out to people, and that I think you're all wonderful, and
I wish you the best,
best of luck in the path that you've chosen, and thank you so much for
coming. Thank you as well for continuing to support artists and creatives of all kinds. What you do is great for all of us.
Thank you.
We need you too.